We're going to John's Gospel, and we're going to the 17th chapter. We're going to start with verse 1. All right, Lord, as we go through a portion of this chapter, we ask that you would bless it and give us a revelation we have not had before. May we not just see the surface, but that we reach into the living life of our Lord that are in these words. Amen. Begin with verse 1. These words spake Jesus. So keep that in mind as we go over this chapter. These are words that Jesus spoke. They're not my words. I didn't come up with this. These words spake Jesus. Okay. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This was on my heart this morning when we had our devotional this morning. It is time for the sons to be glorified in order that the Lord might be glorified. Paul in first chapter of Colossians says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then we learn in the 7th chapter of John, I believe it is, where it said they that believe on him, all those that believe on him, drank of him, and out of their belly shall flow living waters, and in this way shall he be glorified. So how did Jesus glorify the Father? He glorified the Father by allowing the Father to move through him. And the Lord will be glorified when we allow him to move through us. Jesus said time and time again that I do nothing of my own self, but the Father in me doeth the works. And he says, I speak only that which I hear the Father speak. So it was God himself functioning through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in this way, God was glorified. And how is the Lord Jesus going to be glorified in that we let him function through us? We have to become channels for the Lord. That involves a whole lot more than accepting Jesus as Savior, dying and going to heaven, or being raptured out of this earth and going to heaven. Being raptured, dying and going to heaven doesn't glorify God in the least. It's while you're here on this earth that you allow him to function through you. That's what glorifies him. As you have given him power, that's a King James word, it's authority. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now catch this next statement, it's important. Now we're looking for the Lord to give us a revelation that goes deeper into the word than what we've had before. Now catch this third verse. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Life eternal is to know God and to know Jesus Christ. Now that's obviously not talking about knowing about him, but to know him. To know him only takes place one way, and that is when my life penetrates his life, and his life penetrates my life, so that we become one life, then that's what it means to know him, and that's eternal life. Good. I think Brother Paul picked up on that in Galatians 2:20. when he said it this way: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You're not I, but Christ lives in me. See, Christ lives in me. That's not, I've got Christ, by faith I've got Christ in my heart. No, it's Christ living in me, in the same way that God was living in Jesus, the Son of God, and functioning through him. That's what it's talking about. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. You see the oneness there. That is eternal life. Verse 4. We may just read some of these, because something I want to get to is down near the middle of this chapter. And I don't want to cover everything until we get there. But verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I wish we had time to spend on that, but he didn't just come on the scene when that little young lady, Mary, gave birth to his physical body, which was named Jesus. The Son of God is eternal. He always was. He said, glorify me with the glory for that I had with you before the world was. See? He didn't come on the scene in the world. He was before the world was. All right. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Catch that. But we're going to be talking about this world some. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. These men were in the world, but he gave them unto Jesus Christ out of the world. Catch that. Thine they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known sure that I came from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Now catch this, verse 9. I pray for them. He's talking about not only those 12 disciples, but to all those who believe into him and are becoming one life with him. Wherever they are in time, through the ages, those today that are entering into this same thing, Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Oh, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's praying for them, which God takes out of the world and gives to him. Now, again, these words spake Jesus. They're not mine. They're Jesus. Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now, verse 11, he gets back to this world. And now I am no more in the world. These are in the world, and I come to thee. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now in verse 11, he says, I am no more in the world. But these are in the world. They are in the world, but they're not of the world. It's two different things here. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. And in verse 11, he says, I come to you, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. See, guess that. The world has hated them. The world hated Jesus. The world of religion hated him. The Pharisees and scribes were continuously looking for a way to destroy him, to kill him. They hated him. Without a cause, they hated him. Those things of the world and the people of the world always hate that which is of God. Everything that is of the world hates that which is of God. God is not of the world. We need to keep in mind all those words that came in the last few years that talks about the difference between man's world and God's world. Man's world and God's world is two opposites. They are not alike. And the reason that so many Christians do not understand the Lord and do not have a proper understanding of the Scriptures is because they interpret the Scriptures according to their own world. As long as you're looking at the Scriptures in this Bible and you interpret them according to your own way of thinking, according to the things of this world, you will not see the truth. The world hates God. Verse 14 again, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Why? Because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, if you're one of those Christians that feels like, well, I've repented of my sins, I've received Christ as my Savior, everything's okay, I'm ready to go to heaven, then you're one of those Christians that are totally deceived. Because it's after that you've become a Christian that you have to learn how to leave this world and to not be of it or a part of it. As long as you're in the world and are of the world, you are a part of that which hates the Lord, you see. These words spake Jesus. They're not mine. I just emphasize that again. So Jesus says, I do not pray that you take them out of the world. That's verse 15. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. What evil? The evil of the world. You can be in the world, but not of the world. And it's our responsibility as Christians to learn how to leave this world. If you want a rapture, there it is. But it doesn't happen in a skinny second or even a skinny minute or a skinny year. Because all men are of the world. All Christians initially are of the world until they are taken out of the world and they're not of it anymore. And when I mention being taken out of the world, I'm not talking about going up in the sky somewhere. I'm talking about not of the world. Verse 16. Jesus speaking of these disciples, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There they were, standing on the old terra firma. They are in the world, but not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do you understand? In I think it's the 20th chapter, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he blessed them, and he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. This verse says, as you have sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. Jesus Christ came into this world, and he was a channel through which God the Father could accomplish His will through Him. He laid aside the things of self. I do nothing of myself, but the Father in me does the works. In other words, He was not of this world. He was not under the demands or the commands of this world. He was not under any of the power or authority of this world. But He was in it, but not of it. And He was the channel through which God can flow through Him to be manifested that others might know. See, this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God. And how were they going to know the only true God except that the only true God was functioning through Jesus Christ? And that way they know Him. And now Jesus says, as the Father has sent me into the world, I am sending you into the world. We're to be channels for the Lord to function through. We're to be those who manifest the very presence of the Lord God. We have to be the many-membered Messiah, so to speak. The many-membered Christ. We just totally miss the purposes of God when we have this concept that I'm saved and I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm saved and we're just waiting for the rapture. Take me out of this place. He doesn't want to take us out. He wants us to function in it. To not be of the world, but to be a channel for the Lord Himself to function in the world. And until we see that, we're missing it. Verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And then verse 20 nails it down. And I do not pray for these alone, meaning those disciples that were standing there with Him. I do not pray for them alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That involves us. And then when we go forth, as the Lord is talking about here, as manifestations of the Lord Himself, that we become nothing, that I do nothing of my own self, but the Lord in me does His works. These are the ones that the Lord Jesus is praying for. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Catch that. That the world might believe that Thou hast sent me. It's only when He is manifested through us, through that many-membered Christ, that the world sees Him and believes that He is sent. And He said that they might believe that they have sent me. Not that He sent Him 2,000 plus years ago, but that He has been sent now through a people. And they cannot be of this world. But we have to be separated from this world. That's what it means to be sanctified. Separated from this world. Still in it, but we're separated from it. And that we're not of it. We don't think like the world. We don't feel like the world. We don't act like the things of the world. We're different because we live in a different world. We live in the world of God. And we're taking on the mind of Christ. And we're learning how to think like Him and feel like Him. We're learning how to be nothing so that He can be everything through us. They're not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. As long as we're of this world, we're not going to know the truth. We have to be separated from this world. Very thing Peter said on the day of Pentecost, in that first sermon, save yourself from this crooked generation, or from this untoward generation. Separate yourself from the things of the world. There's where our number one problem is, that the church is still in the world. The church is still of the world. It still thinks like the world. It still acts like the world because it's still of the world. And consequently, God is not moving through it. There has to be a separation. Separate yourself. Separate the vile from the clean.
Precious from the vile.
Separate the precious from the vile. Then your mouth shall be as my mouth. I wish we had time. I'd like to get into this thing of what the truth really is. Is there something upon my heart right now? Maybe in the next message we'll get to that. Because the Christian world in general doesn't know the truth. Because it's still of the world. You cannot be of the world and know the truth. You cannot be of the world and really know the Lord. You can be a Christian. You can be religious. But that's not the same thing as knowing Him. To know Him is life eternal. And life eternal is not after you get to a place called heaven. Life eternal is when you really know Him. Because you're living His life. He's living your life. And He's living His life through your life. And He can only do that when you're not of this world. Because the Lord, while He does things in the world, He doesn't function through the world. Now, all that, these words spake Jesus. It's never what you don't do.
It's
what you become.
Right.
It's what you become. You can think of all the things that you consider that the world does, and you cannot do those same things, but that doesn't make you separate from the world. The only thing that makes you separate from the world is to become as He is. To know Him. This is life eternal. Okay, these words spake Jesus. Go over that 17th chapter of John. Read it anew. And not just surface reading, but find the hidden manner in there. The life of the Lord. Amen.